Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.
This is Sarah Spain from Good Game with Sarah Spain, brought to you in part by Vital Farms. Let me tell you why Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs are the only eggs I have in my fridge. The hens. They're living the good life. Fresh air, sunshine, and wide open pastures. I use my Vital Farms for my famous frittatas. And you could trace your eggs back to the farm they came from. Check the carton for the farm name, pop it into vitalfarms.com/farm, and boom, you're looking at the pasture. So next time you're in the store, look for the black carton in the egg aisle and visit vitalfarms.com to learn more. Vital Farms, good eggs, no shortcuts.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers. With Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Diddy, more charges, more civil charges against him this last week. Seven new. It's not the same seven as last week. These are new ones. This is the batch that involves the 13-year-old girl in the VMA after party in the year 2000. It's the ones that involved the A-list sports celebrity that allegedly went in and stopped him from committing a sexual violence act against another. It's that group. We're going to have to like name these because I feel like every Monday more are going to drop. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Big question still continues to come up with all these. Who are the celebrities? Who are the mystery people in all of this? I want to first talk about, because these are civil cases, and the demand letter that was sent out by Tony Busby to some of the people in these videos. Apparently, if one was seen in there, a demand letter went out. Tell me about that logistically. What is the purpose of the demand letter? What type of people would it go to? And what possible outcomes could it have? What choices do the recipients have once they get it?
Totally. So a demand letter typically is a legal formal request for compensation. And so you identify people whom you think are responsible as the civil attorney, and then you send it to them. And especially if they're high profile folks, and you send it to them and their counsel and perhaps, business operations executives, depends on the nature of what's going on. But and you say, hey, look, you pay us $500,000 and this will be not, and there's not going to be any disclosure, and we'll sign an NDA and this, that'll be that for you. But if you don't, we are going to go public with this. And so they have leverage that they put into these demand letters, kind of saying pay up or else things are going to get really bad for you.
What's the difference between a demand letter and extortion?
It's a fair question. Extortion, at least in Colorado, where I practice, usually requires the threatening of some unlawful act.
Okay.
And say like, hey, if you don't pay us money, I'm going to, break your daughter's kneecaps or something. That's certainly extortion. But if you're just using the information you have as leverage in a legal proceeding in a way that does not run afoul of any other law, usually in Colorado, that is a permissible demand.
So does the person on camera have to be breaking a law in order to demand some sort of money? Or could it be the person just happens to be at the party? They're not breaking any laws. They're there, but you catch them on camera. Maybe there's some other stuff going on where the law is being broken, but it's not involving them.
That's a really important distinction, because I think if a demand was sent to someone who had objectively just no legal responsibility, criminal, civil, or otherwise, they were just an attendee or something like that, then I think you get closer to extortion because you're saying, hey, pay us money or I'm going to ruin your reputation wrongly. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good legal basis to. I don't have a legal basis to say that you're responsible for this, but I'm going to make you hurt if you don't give us some money. That's when we start to get much closer to extortion. Typically, it would be improper to send a demand to people who had no legal responsibility.
And that's where I guess it gets to be a gray area. I mean, one of these allegations stems from that 13-year-old. The quick details on it are it was after the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards at a Diddy party of some sort. Diddy was in a room, and then according to the claim, a male celebrity and a female celebrity came into the room. Diddy and the male celebrity both sexually violated the 13-year-old. While the female watched, that person right there, who was there with the male, this happened, didn't do anything, allegedly. What kind of responsibility does that person face? Could that person be someone who would have received that demand letter?
That is like a hypothetical you would receive in law school, because there's a ton of gray area there. It's hard to determine. You know, were they an accomplice? Well, if they were an accomplice, they would have to know that what was happening was unlawful, probably know that the girl or the participant was underage, and they would probably have to provide some sort of aid or facilitation or something like that. Now, if they were standing in front of the door, does that constitute trying to, prohibit someone from leaving or something like that? It really depends on the specific facts and circumstances of what that person was doing, whether they were a completely innocent bystander or whether something more nefarious was at play.
The person, the male accomplice in this, or the one that was with Diddy that had the allegations of doing this to the 13-year-old girl, I would imagine they'd be one that would receive the demand letter for sure.
I think without question, and I think it would be a hefty demand. I'm talking well into the seven figures. And, you know, for some of these folks, especially if we're talking like someone who was a star in 2000, but things that might have changed, they might not be in a position to pay these demands. And so they might have no choice but to, not pay the demand in full and have their name outed, which we could see in the coming weeks or months.
Yeah, I mean, that will be very fascinating if that's what happened. Yeah, I mean, we are talking how many years ago now, 24 years ago. A lot of celebrities that are on the top of their game then are not now and do not have the means to pay something like this. When you have something like this, obviously these demand letters, if you do have the means and you do pay it, it ends up with an NDA. It ends up with the suit not being necessarily filed, right? I mean, The people in this, if this is already filed like this, is there a demand letter already out to that person that they've said screw off to? Or I guess that would be the question. Why hasn't the person been named yet if they didn't comply with the demand letter?
Yeah, good question, because typically the sequence is you send a demand letter, you say, pay us or else we're going to disclose everything when we file a lawsuit. And then you file the lawsuit disclosing everything. Here we have the lawsuit and there is no such disclosure. So is it the attorney giving another chance to this person to say, hey, look, we're serious. We're going to be very clear about who you are if you don't pay this. That's possible. Is it possible that the attorney filed the lawsuit, like did it out of sequence, filed the lawsuit first to give additional leverage to be like, hey, time's ticking, man. You can't just like sit on this. We're going to send this demand. And you've got like 32 days before you're required to respond by law. So it could be a sort of creative sequencing like that.
So would there be like, if for example, that's where it's sitting right now and the celebrity has not come back with the money, is there like some sort of amendment to the law filed or just another piece of it that's filed that then names the individual?
Certainly, there could be what's called an amended complaint. You have an initial complaint, you know, saying what happened and disclosing who you want to be or who you believe is at fault. But you can always file an amended complaint as additional information arises, as the course of the proceedings progress.
This is not 1998 anymore, though, or even 2005, where Diddy was able to kind of make some of these things go away by NDAs and by this sort of arrangement. Now these things are getting filed, or maybe they won't if the demand letters are met. But it doesn't stop the federal authorities from looking into this. I mean, I would imagine every single one of these cases and names that are being dropped out here, The feds are going to look into it, and they're going to find out who these names are. And no NDA protects you from the feds saying, and guess who was involved? That's not going to stop anything. So if somebody was really involved in some really dark stuff here, which will inevitably be found out by the feds, does signing this NDA or does paying off these people make a damn bit of difference if very likely in the coming weeks and months or years, their names are going to be flying out the door through a federal indictment?
It's certainly one protective layer, but like you said, it is not determinative, and the feds could look into it anyway. The feds can get a grand jury going and issue subpoenas to these people for information, to bring them in and give testimony for documents, even if there's an NDA in place. And so as this thing continues to unfurl, the likelihood of retaining anonymity becomes very low in the civil and criminal context.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, is it worth paying the millions of dollars if it's not really, it's going to protect you maybe for a couple months or weeks? I mean, it's just a matter until somebody says something. And it doesn't necessarily mean it has to come out through an official source. I mean, leaks do happen.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And on top of that, there's a chance that if some sort of like ancillary participant were to pay a demand, get an NDA, there's still a chance that Diddy, in his defense of the criminal or civil lawsuits, might need to identify that person, either depose them or call them as a witness at a criminal trial. And so they're not necessarily out of the woods, even if they comply with the demand process. Not only do they have the federal government looking at them, but they might have the defense that could out them as well.
In the federal trial of Diddy, his attorneys are saying, hey, we need to know who these people are because we can't be fighting ghosts, which is true. I mean, as much as one may hate Diddy, you have to have a fair trial, just like Murtaugh. I think he's guilty as shit, but it was messed up. So they may need to know it, the defense of Diddy. Is that going to out celebrities publicly, or is that information that can be given to the defense behind closed doors? You guys do what you will with it for planning, or is it like once this gate opens, is it pretty much game over for anyone?
You know, the court can take measures to have the disclosure of accusers' identities what's called under seal. And so it would only go, sometimes it only goes to the defense attorney. It won't, the government or the court prohibits it from actually going to the defendant. And then even if that happens and the court says, hey, you guys can't tell anybody about this. Like you said, there are leaks. This is the whole world is watching this case. And so that's not a guarantee of anonymity either.
Well, I mean, and does that work for Diddy or does that hurt Diddy? Because in some ways, the anonymity is what protects a lot of these people from their fear of retribution. Granted, he's behind bars. He still has money. Still has some goons out there, I'm sure. There's still reason why people may not want to have their name known as being involved with Diddy beyond just shame.
Yeah, oh certainly. And, you know, I think that keeping this kind of, I wonder if Diddy's sort of mounting sort of a counter threat to folks. You know, we have the demands from the plaintiff's attorney, right? And so I'm wondering if the defense is saying, hey, look, if you guys provide information that's disadvantageous to my case, I'm just going to out you all. If I'm going down, y'all are going down. And I'm just wondering if that is sort of a counter threat that would be questionably lawful that is being posed. And you know, some folks are really found themselves in the middle of this in a horrible situation.
Kind of feels that way. In some of this where it's like, you were on the Diddy ship, you're going down with the Diddy ship. There's no alternative to that. It'll be very fascinating to continue to watch and to see who gets sued next week. Because this is turning into far beyond just a movie or a miniseries. This is a whole fucking season of episodes. This is a sitcom that lasts 10 years. A sitcom from hell.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
His bone crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming. Because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.